Hello. This is James Chandler. I'm speaking with Sadie Katz from the new movie Party Bus to Hell. She's been kind enough to do an interview. And Sadie, how did you get involved with Party Bus to Hell?
Actually, Michael Mahal and Sonny Mahal, Mahal brothers in Vegas, had contacted my manager. They were fans of Wrong Turn 6, which is great. And they contacted me about being in the film, and I heard the title and was like, please, this is going to be good. I was like, that is something pretty fun. I can get behind that. So my manager, Robert Lombard, coordinated it for me. And originally I was supposed to actually do Tara Reid's part. But, truthfully, I was like, they need, a really fun cameo for this. That's someone a little bit different that, right away kind of sets the mood for it. And I fell in love with Joan the bus driver. So the rest is history.
Yeah, you certainly were the bus driver to hell, that's for sure. I think when I first started watching, when you tell Laura, she's oh, it's free today. It's like, well, we're in for something here. So I kind of figured we were. But it was a crowdfunded project. Is that correct?
Okay, this is actually really interesting.
Okay.
So half of it was crowdfunded, and it's really funny because I'm such a pessimist. So when Michael was doing the crowdfunding and they offered me the film, I was like, they're like, well, we're going to do it no matter what, but we need more funds and we're going to get some, publicity on the movie. I was like, well, listen, just leave my name off all the crowdfunding. I said, you'll never get the crowdfunding. It doesn't work anymore, blah, blah, blah. Well, they got the crowdfunding and then some and kept going. The Mahals are very good at raising money, getting people excited, and I had to literally eat my words every time I saw them about it. They're like, oh, I thought the crowdfunding doesn't work, Sadie. And I've been in L.A. I've been in so many projects that it doesn't work that I go, don't put me on it. Because I'm on a bunch of projects that, Sadie's always doing stuff that doesn't go. And so I'm always a little bit like, meh. But, yeah, they kind of killed it. They crushed it.
That's great. I noticed at the end of the movie it promises a second movie sooner or later is what it says. So that's an optimistic look, I think, for the people who made it.
Yeah, I think we knew something special was going on when we did it. We were like, you know what, this movie's really fun. It's silly, it's ridiculous. There's boobs and blood and demons. We kind of felt like, I said, you know what, this movie is exactly what you want it to be. And when we were shooting it, I felt pretty good about it. So, everyone wants to do a sequel, right? You all
right.
Want that. So you hope people will get as excited as you are about it.
Sure, definitely. Now, how long did it take to shoot it? Do you know roughly?
I don't know, because I know they picked up and did other shots I wasn't involved with. I want to say it was 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. As far as you were concerned, try and remember if there's any shots of you outside in the desert. Are there shots of you in the desert?
You know what's funny? You only see me in Vegas,
right?
Welcoming on the bus, and then I had almost zero blocking in the film, which is really crazy if you think about it, because I'm playing the most manic, crazy character, and everything's sort of in a 4x2 space, if that, except I don't want to give away too much, but when things start to go really haywire, at the end, I have some crazy jumps, but other than that, everything's really contained, which was kind of it was a really weird experience, plus you're working with, five other actors, so each of them has a close-up. So,
exactly.
You're all standing in that bus, and then I'm a little bit more naked than they are. So.
Yes.
I see Madonna and Rich, and I'm like, hey, do you guys want to see my boobs? And they're like, why do we want to see boobs? Well, it's been a while. So, everyone got to see my boobs in close quarters for a very long time.
That's funny. Well, it's like... Jennifer Lawrence recently, they asked her about Red Sparrow. The big deal was that she did nudity in Red Sparrow. I haven't seen it yet, but she said that. And she said, you know, at first it was a big deal, but she said then after a while it was like they were telling her, it's like, go put a robe on. She'd go to lunch, something like that, and it's like, put some clothes on, you know. But they said after a while she just had to have a problem with it.
Yeah, which I totally understand. I'm sure people hear that and go, oh, my God, I'm so sure. But I'm like, I mean, it's a long day. And
sure.
I think, like, truthfully, by day three of the topless stuff, I was like, I turned to my DP, Michael Sue, and I go, all right, I'm done. Like, I was like, like
right.
Someone needs to give me a rope right now. I said, I need my body back. But,
yeah.
You know, you have to, if you have any qualms about doing it, it really ruins it. It ruins the set. It's tough. It's like, you know, I try to think of it, and we're in France, you're at the beach and everyone's topless. It's only
right.
America that's, like, so spazzy about it.
Right.
You know, but it was a certain point where I was like, God, this is like a living nightmare. I'm standing here naked in
uh-huh.
my underwear, and everybody else has clothes on. But, you know, you do have to kind of go with it and be a good sport about it, or else, you know, you make everyone uncomfortable.
Right. You know, the other thing is you end up fighting, you know, topless. That's the other thing. And what, like you said, you're in a small space, too. I mean, it had to be tough.
I had to jump on Rich, who's now my best, right?
Is it?
I had to jump on him with my underwear on, and I'm giving away some of the movie, but I'm gonna guess that people will still watch the movie,
oh, yes.
even knowing the plot twist. But you know, I have to jump on him, and like I don't know how to say this in a polite way, but my vagina is resting on his shoulder, and I'm biting his neck.
Right.
I mean, we're doing this intimate thing, and Richard's like, "This is you're so creepy, Sadie." And I mean, you got like my whole body's wrapped around him. My
right.
boobs are all over his head. Like, you know, I mean, it's you got to like this character. I had to either go for it 100% or not do it because
right.
she's a nut. She's
right.
a nut. She's too. And I'm like, if I don't go for it all the way, it's she's not watchable, it's not interesting, and you know, maybe people will be like, oh, that was so great, or at least they'll say like, damn, that girl, she's working, she's trying, she's doing something there.
I thought you were good at first, you didn't know, I mean, I kind of knew because I picked up on what you said, but then later on as it goes along, it's like, oh, she's dialing this up each time.
Yeah.
And it seemed like you were able to dial it up as needed, and it progresses through the movie, and I think it's great. I thought you were
acting.
Oh, I
love you for saying that. I was a little worried because I was like, you don't want to tip your hat to the audience too much, but I
no.
feel like, you know, being the bus driver, it's kind of like a silly thing, like why the Castle Girl is the bus driver is the deal. I mean, I do have the bus driver voice, but I wanted people to be able to go back and watch the movie and
uh-huh.
go, oh, those creatures are twitching all in her. So when she's starting to get weird, it's
uh-huh.
because she's starting to feel all the creatures in her, and she's ready to, you know, have sex and wants to. So I wanted there to be a progression, not like, you know, Joan's a sweet bus driver, and then boom, she's
right.
a crazy person. I wanted it to be where you go, oh, my God, that's so true. In case you happen to be a binge watcher of Party Best to Hell, you know? If that's your thing.
Yeah, I thought it was great. The other thing, it leads me to a couple questions. The body art, how long did it take to apply? And you said you were there shooting 3 days like that. So did they apply it 3 different days? And
well, I was shooting like 2 weeks, but for like the topless stuff. I mean, you know, it's all different. So, a guy named Rick Tripp, Trip Inc. I actually went to a tattoo parlor, and the tattoos were a huge hassle. They were like, they ended up being more of a hassle than they should have been because we couldn't figure out how to do them. Because if you only had to do them one shot, that would be fine. But we were afraid of them washing off, and I think we had 2 or 3 days between, so I had to shower.
Oh, wow.
And how were we going to match them? Or if we had pickup shots, and then we had we wanted to have them be able to be, like, on my double who had to not have them so we could go back and forth where they disappeared.
Sure.
So I went to the tattoo parlor, and I've got, like, 6 guys drawing on me. because we have to do it. I'm like, you know, the guy I was dating at the time, I'm FaceTiming him. I'm like, this is a very weird thing. I'm in the middle of Vegas at a tattoo parlor and having, you know, it was fun. It was goofy. I think they would probably have done the tattoos all by hand. We tried to do the ones where you, like, stick them on.
Right.
But the light hits them, you know.
And they shine.
And so Rick Tripp, who's the funniest guy on the freaking planet, okay, he's like this big burly guy. He had done, I think, what's the show with the prisoners or Sons of Anarchy?
Prisoners
or bikers.
Right, well, yeah.
So he had done some stuff, I think, for them. And so he had some, he was familiar with it. But it was also like when your body creases, my body was kind of not, you know, taking it. And so now we're like pros. I think the black tattoos was the best. The colored ones were not worth the time, you know.
I think you're right. I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. And so we're like panicking on set going like, Jesus Christ, you know, your tattoos are glossy and everyone's like standing around staring at my face trying to figure out like, this is so disappointing. I'm like, hey guys, it's okay. I mean, you know, at the end of the day with these things, you also have to be like, look, we're doing a film that's a certain kind of film, Fast and Furious, and like the real horror fans kind of know that and they're forgiving. But then there will be some jackass who will be like, you can totally tell they're not real tattoos. Wow, you caught us.
Well, you know, in the first time when I watch a movie, I'll watch it just simply for just taking it in. And like I said, I watched it twice. So the second time I watched it, I get more of the kind of like I'm looking at the shots and I'm going, oh, these are good shots or whatever. I'm picking things out I liked and I'm kind of listening to music more and whatever. And it wasn't until then that I really was thinking about that. So your first time viewer is not really gonna pick that out. I think it works just fine. I think it looks good.
Yeah, and you're kind of shocked in it, but you do. I mean, it's true. When we saw it, I'm watching it at the cast and crew screening, and I'm going, you know, I wish that all the tattoos would have done that. I mean, you know, you always want something more. I think one of the things that Walt did really well is, like, we're on that bus an incredible amount of time, and to stage the actors, and some of them, that was the first role. And so he staged them and staggered them in like little triangles, how you would a stage play. And it doesn't, you know, I had somebody say the same thing, like, are you only in the bus? But it doesn't really feel like that. It's not like you feel claustrophobic, you know, which is like a really tough thing because, you know, there was a balance of how do we stay in the bus and people not be like, Jesus Christ, the whole movie's in that bus. You know, I mean, and it still looked kind of visually interesting and giving the actors something to do. I mean, there's a certain thing that I thought he kind of did really well, and Michael Su tried to do interesting shots and cheated, like that bathroom and the stowage, you know, the stowaway space.
Sure.
Of course, you know, the virgin blood has to, I mean, it's like this goofy stuff. I was calling my son from shooting going, well, I just had my stomach cut open and now I'm, you know, vomiting horrible things everywhere and, you know, what am I doing?
That was my other thing. What did they make the blood out of? What was their choice for the blood? It seems to be different.
Oh, you different know, isn't that funny? Whatever it was, it tastes gross. You know, it feels like who was the Breakaway Productions was our. I can't believe I can remember this. I'm almost done. But they were really exceptionally nice. They were our special effects, and their blood was okay. I mean, believe it or not, when you're doing kind of, I mean, this is a pretty good budget thing, but stuff like that adds up, and it gets wasted really fast, especially the blood. So they were mixing up their own little vats, and there's huge vats of it everywhere. And Stefani Blake, who becomes the demon, she was really covered in it. So, I mean, I didn't have that kind of experience. She has the experience where she's just dripping in it, and you got to remember, it gets hot in the lights, it gets sticky, and, you know, it's in your blonde hair, and it stains your hair. So it's kind of like a thing that you just have to, like, make peace with. And if you're doing, like, a love scene with blood, which is crazy that I know this, but you start sticking to the other person and your skin starts ripping off and, you know, you can't clean up.
Right.
So you're just kind of like, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is who I'm with right now. I mean, I didn't think that this was as uncomfortable for anyone, like, as it could have been if we were, like, we did do some desert stuff far away, but I've been covered in blood and, like, had worms thrown on me in the middle of, like, the desert and then had to be hosed off at, like, 2 in the morning.
Oh,
like,
wow.
That's when you're like, why am I doing this now? Like, I'm a grown-up. I can go do grown-up shit.
Exactly. Well, you know, you mentioned your co-stars. How did you get along with them pretty well, mostly everybody?
Oh, they're all assholes. No, you know what? They're like, I say like they're the kids because I'm a little bit older than them, I need to admit it. But I love them. Like, they were really fun. And there's a certain excitement, like, to some of them were, like, local hires, and this was their first thing in their heart.
Oh, wow.
Like, Shelby is the redhead.
Right.
She's really kind of talented and great, and she was so appreciative, and every day was, like, on set, just stoked out of her flipping mind. Madonna is, you know, Madonna's, like, now one of my friends, and we're going to do a podcast together, and we've been setting it up, and Rich, and Madonna's the blonde, and Rich is the guy that looks like a, he looks like an action hero, and he's the one that I jump on. So, I mean, I ended up, every shoot, I think you pick up a couple of buddies. Like, I always think, like, every film, you pick up, like, 3 friends that you kind of keep. You get to keep.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes, for a while, you have, like, after a film wraps, you have, like, 10 of those people, and you love them, and then slowly they start to drop away, and they were kind of just, like, your film family for that time. But then you get to keep 3 of them, and 10 years later, they're at your birthday party, and you're like, wow. And they're all, like, my last birthday party, I was like, oh, this person from this film, that film, this person. I mean, that's kind of the upside. If you don't love your co-stars, it sucks. You just like,
Certainly makes your day easier.
Yeah, I mean, I've had very few films that I felt that way, and one film I felt that way, but it's normally because you have a jerky director, because he's the host of your party. So if your host of your party is nice and having a good time and has a good heart, you typically, he ends up inviting great guests or actors to work with.
That's
so
correct.
I think that's how it works.
Did, let's see, do you have I know, you know, this is a horror film, obviously. Do you have a favorite genre to watch or to actually shoot?
I just naturally say horror. Because I watch so much of it, and I'm a part of it. And if I'm turning, you know what's funny? If I'm turning on a show, I'm, like, watching, like, a post-apocalyptic movie. I was like, looking for, like, you know, the ones where, like, Donald Trump would be the president and everyone's carrying guns. I mean, not to get political. But I'm saying, like, I'm always looking for, like, the dreary end of the world, people are surviving. I think there's something fun, or a horror film, or like a meaningless documentary that's kind of just goofy and silly. So, those are Black Mirror, I have to say, though. That's my jam. That show is so good.
Really? Okay.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. You said Black Mirror?
Oh, God. You need to start from the first episode. You can watch them out of order, but you'll understand after the first episode. You will just sit there in silence and go, what the hell did I just watch? it's a show that you can't really binge watch because every episode is so amazing. It's like a modern-day Twilight Zone about technology. So it's really heavy about, you know, how technology is really, like, changing us. Like, in the future, you know, you won't be able to rent a house unless people are liking you and you have so many social networks.
Oh, wow.
It's stuff like that. You have to see it. I can't tell you enough things about it.
Is it on Netflix?
I think it is on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's Netflix. And I'm telling you, you will, like, want to call me up and be like, I need to call up Sadie Katz and say this is a damn good show.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you, have you done conventions? I know you mentioned in the Bill Murray thing, you're talking about how he deals with fans and how you find it interesting that when Wrong Turn 6 You have people saying, oh, I really liked your movie. I want your autograph, things like that. Because you could do conventions at this point. You've had that movie and you've had this one and, you know.
Yeah, I'm doing Comic-Con again. I did Comic-Con last year, so I'm going to do Comic-Con this year. And then I've done a couple of conventions. I actually was waiting for Blood Feast to come out and Party Bus because I thought Blood Feast, Party Bus, and Long Term is a great, like, trifecta of oversexed, crazy women.
Right.
So, and I have friends who are, like, huge. My friend Celeste Rose is, like, forever. She's the convention queen. It is funny, though, because, like, it's funny because it's weird for me if I meet someone. I saw someone, like, a couple months ago. Someone stopped me, like, 2 months ago. It's like, hey, you're Sadie Katz. I'm like, yeah, I am. And they were, like, kind of nervous talking to me. And I was, like, so fascinated by that because no one gives a shit for days. And then when they do, I kind of think, like, oh, like, thanks for watching my, like, that's really cool. And then you do these conventions and you're like, you know, I mean, it sounds terrible, but you're like, hey, you know, $20 for the signed DVD. And I just did one at Dark Dallas Cassis. We did a little signing. And, I mean, people don't really understand, like, as an actor, how much you're hustling. You're like, listen, bro, I'm not, like, rolling in the Benjamins, okay? I'm working my freaking ass off here.
Yeah.
So it's nice, but it's also nice because, like, when I did Comic-Con and a couple people, like, came in specifically and were, like, had stuff for me to sign, I was, like, I'm not that into fame or anything like that. I was just super touched, like, wow, I have a presence in your life. Like, I wanted to buy them a beer and hang out with them. Which is kind of why I like the Bill Murray stuff. That has to do with it. But I feel like it's very strange because it's like a strange dichotomy because I think it's like completely ridiculous when people get obsessed with celebrities. And I did an entire documentary about being obsessed with celebrities.
Well, I know there's a. I'm going to see Daisy. I live in Springfield, Illinois. So, I'm what, 3 hours from Chicago, 3 hours from Indianapolis, an hour and a half from St. Louis. So there's a lot of bigger areas, and then 6 hours from like Nashville and places like that. So I can hit a lot of different places in a reasonably short period of time. So I can go to a number of conventions, and John Leguizamo just announced that he'd be at Days of the Dead in June 22nd through 24th in Indianapolis. So I mean, they've got a lot of varied, you know, varied people. Gene Simmons is going to be there. Elvira is going to be there. Heather Langenkamp, a lot of different people from a lot of different movies. So
it's exciting. I mean, it is exciting to me. Like, I mean, it's really funny because I think I take it for granted because I got to go to, like, the Oscars and in L.A. It becomes an event, and I've done a lot of, like, I've been, you know, to a lot of the SAG Awards and things like that. And, you know, it is something exciting. I mean, before I moved to L.A., I lived in Orange County, and I remember, like, Ed McMahon was at the airport. And I was, like, a teenager, and I just wanted to come up and, like, say hi because he was, a person in my life. Like, he was someone I was fascinated by. Or I met Carol Burnett.
Oh, nice.
A kid, and I was at the Bistro Garden in Beverly Hills, and she invited me to, like, sit at her table. And it was really cool because I loved her show, and I think that's now, even in this day and age, it's actually, like, nice to be able to connect with someone, even for a few minutes, of, like, a show that you've been a really big fan of, or, you know, ask that question that you're burning to know.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool, especially if you have, just getting an autograph or a picture is okay, but maybe having a little interaction is kind of special.
It is nice. I think I think it is nice, especially if you're starting off, you get good feedback too. And I know a lot of people don't realize that haven't done conventions. Once they do a convention, they sort of realize what it's like. And I think when somebody does it, they go, oh, I didn't know that this, you know, got to as many people as it did, because maybe initially DVD sales aren't as high or rentals aren't as high, but then over the years, all of a sudden it's like, this is the movie I really like. And it's like, but that was like a third film I did. But all of a sudden there's like this thing where people are, you know, watching a certain movie, or they've picked up on something after a while. I don't know what it is, but it seems that some things over time do that. And
so that's exciting. It's exciting too, because you're like, I didn't even know anyone watched that film. Like, right when I got to Comic-Con, the first girl that came in had a picture that she had printed off. I don't know where she got it. And it was from Nipples and Palm Trees.
That was
the first film I ever did as a theatrical that came out in theaters. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's like a limited theatrical, you know?
Sure.
And I said, really, I love this film so much. And I called my buddy that is the lead in the film. And I was like, you will not guess what autograph I just read. And he goes, what? I'm like, Nipples and Palm Trees. He goes, get out of here, you liar. I go, I'm telling you, that's the very first person. And, like, when I went to Canada for I did a convention in Canada, Shock Stock.
Uh-huh.
People were, like, bringing the DVD and talking to me about, like, Sally. And, like,
wow.
You know, talking to me about, like, the lore of Sally. And I was thinking, I made that choice. That's why I turned to, like, I mean, it was in the script, but, like, I expanded on it. I chose to do that direction. And that was, like, you know, you did. Listen, I do this shit for a long time, and you start to like bang your head against the wall. Like, what am I doing? So, those little things mean a lot. Where you go, well, I'm the one who threw that line in there that you love so much. That's really cool. Yeah.
Well, I think you reach a lot more people than you realize. I think over time that shows you the people that you reach, the type of people that reach, and the things that are important or that they latch onto. You know,
yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah.
And, I noticed that you did, you were a writer, you wrote Scorned, is that correct?
Yeah, I wrote it with Mark Jones, who is the director. We wrote it together, and he's the creator of Leprechaun and Rumpelstiltskin, and was a writer for, you know, Scooby-Doo and the A-Team.
Wow.
You know, he's not a spring chicken, but we kind of decided... we had wrote another script that I really loved, and we both loved it. Didn't get picked up. It was pretty gritty, and it was like a home invasion script, and based on a true story. And we got some interest, but not really. We couldn't close the deal. And then we both were talking about, like, I was going through a crazy breakup and was just saying crazy shit. I was like, you know, I'm going to rip his freaking eyes out. I'm going to shove him in, you know, he'll rue the day. And I was just, like, so crazy. And Mark and I were kind of buddies and hanging out at the cigar store. And, like, always talking about, like, you know, chicks are scarier than anything. And I kind of hoped that it would go in, like, a different direction. I had hoped that it would go in a different direction, but I wanted it to be a little bit more tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
It ended up being a little bit more Lifetime. I wish the film would have been different, but Anna Lynn McCord acts the shit out of that film. She really, you know, I wrote it for me to be the lead in.
Uh-huh.
And I just, Anchor Bay gave us a ton of money for the film, and they wanted. And so, you know, Anna Lynn McCord, though, like, you think I wouldn't like it, but instead I was completely obsessed with her performance. She goes all out and carries the film, really.
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing. I know in your documentary, I noticed that you really put yourself in the movie. I mean, it's, you know, I'm starting to watch this, like, you and your friends are having fun, and it's like, all of a sudden you're like, my friends are not hanging around with me anymore. It's like, so that was a real thing. I mean, you lost friends over it, or did you get the friends back finally?
I didn't really get the friends back. I think, you know, sometimes in L.A., like, your friends come and go, and maybe that was part of it. But, I mean, it was like, I know it sounds crazy when I look at the documentary that it was that kind of, like, I did this documentary chasing Bill Murray and I lost my friends and I lost this, but it really meant something to me. And I think, like, any quest, journey, whether it's looking for Bill Murray or, you know, wanting to hike a mountain or whatever, sometimes if you're changed after that and people don't always understand obsession. I mean, obsession is a thing, and I think making a movie is kind of like a whole journey unto itself.
Oh, yeah.
So you're different. When your project's done, you're like, I've been in a battle. And no one wants to hear you say that because they go, please, you made a movie. But, you know, there's a lot of law and legality involved. There's, you know, there's just like your heart is on the line. And in that film, I had no choice but have my heart be on the line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or you know, if my heart wasn't on the line, then there's nothing. You're not watching anything. You're just watching a dumb blonde talk about Bill Murray.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, and you had tinnitus, and you had a number of things. You were losing weight. Is that right? I mean, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I probably dropped like I don't know, 15 pounds.
Oh my gosh!
Just out of stress and. Yeah. And the tinnitus didn't really have, it just had to do with like a lot of stress, and I had some hearing damage, and I, you know, that ringing in your ear was something that I didn't react very well to.
Right.
I didn't handle it well, and I think a lot of it had to do with, I was just like really in a depressed place, and somehow the searching for Bill Murray took this greater crazy meaning in my head of
yeah.
like, and it really did grow and grow and grow. And everyone was like, this is silly, Sadie. And I kept going, why is this silly? Like, this is what I came to do. Like, I came to, you know, look for Bill Murray. Why, if you guys quit telling me it's silly and kind of go along for my ride, it might be different, but you know, listen, when I get something in my head, I get it in my head. Like, I go, it's 1,000%, and maybe not everyone
quality.
Wants that to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good quality. It shows that you are committed to see something through. I mean, I think, I was watching, I go, man, if you put her on something, she would do it. She would complete the project. I mean,
yeah.
That's what I got out of it. And
well, that's what I hope. You know, I hope someone doesn't see something and go, just like, oh, you know, that's okay, but she backed off. I mean, that was pretty boring, but, you know,
I think
not everyone loves that.
I think it came off very sweet. I really do. I really think it came off very, very sweet.
Thank you for watching, man. I appreciate it.
Well, what about the other I was going to tell you, I actually know Cindy Morgan, who was in Caddyshack with Bill Murray.
Oh, right.
The still photographer lives here in Springfield. I work for Illinois State Police. His wife, I worked with her, and anyway, I was talking to a still photographer one day, and Cindy Morgan, a friend of mine, got a hold of me and said, Cindy Morgan wants to call you, and because I've got access to photos from Caddyshack of Bill Murray and whatever I got through this friend of mine who's a still photographer. I've got on-set stuff where Bill Murray's, you know, talking to they're goofing around. They always said there was a real problem with him and Chevy Chase. There's shots of them goofing around on the set that where they're goofing around. I think a lot of that was made up to kind of help sell the movie.
Really?
But I've got If you want one of those or something like that, I could probably get you a photo or something if you want to see one of those. Another thing, Bill Murray was here 2 years ago in Staunton, which is 40 miles south, going towards St. Louis. Staunton's a little tiny town, and he stopped one morning. His son is a coach of a basketball team, a college team, and he went down to watch his son coach. And so he was down there. I guess he was driving back to Chicago, I think.
Right.
And stopped in Staunton and actually stopped at the Dairy Queen and just kind of went in and talked to people, and the lady posted a selfie, and, you know, he once again bought ice cream and was kind of in there just talking to people and signing stuff and being Bill Murray, you know, so that was kind of cool.
See, everyone has a damn Bill Murray. I mean, it's so funny. I was sitting on the plane, and, like, I happened to have some postcards advertising the film, and I was, like, talking to someone, and I said, what are you doing? I go, oh, I'm an actress, and I gave him a postcard, and he goes, oh, I was on a plane like a year ago, and I was in coach, and Bill sat next to me. And I go,
oh,
well, and I put it up there, and I go, of course he did. Of course he sat next to you. I said, watch my documentary, and you'll understand why, you know, why that's so funny to me. Because it was sort of like, I felt like I was chasing Snuffleupagus, and everyone was like,
yeah.
You're so cute!
Right, exactly. There was a guy, Tommy Chong was in town one time, and I got tickets. He was doing a comedy show here in town. And this guy that he always borrowed money. Like every payday, he's like, hey, can I borrow $15? You know, he always borrowed money. This guy, one day, walks in. He goes, hey, I was just across the street. I was over at the breakfast place across the street. And Tommy Chong was standing right there next to him. He's like, of course he was. you know.
Of course. Good for you, buddy.
Of course.
Good for you. I'm glad you had your moment.
Yeah, you probably want to borrow $15 now because, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But, that's great.
I was really happy to see your document. I was really, really liked it. I thought that was just, it was very heartfelt, very, seemed like a very personal thing that you were putting. PJ Souls, I've met her several times and really like her, and she is just the nicest person, and evidently you had that same kind of response with her reaction.
Isn't and, she so, she's amazing. She's just
oh, yeah.
really stupendous. Yeah.
I met her at her first convention. I took a picture of her, and it was like she had her kids there, and I had a picture, and it's like, and it was like I got one with her, and I had a picture of her and her kids. I don't know why they were all together, but I saw her a couple years ago, and I said, "Hey, I've got this picture." I said, "It's really not of any use to me. You're in the picture, of course, but I said, you and your kids." And she looked at the picture, she goes, "Oh my gosh!" She goes, "That's the first convention I ever went to in New York." I go, "That's where I was," and she goes, "That's the first convention I ever did." She goes, "I brought my kids with me." And I gave it to her. She was like, "This is the greatest thing," and signed something for me. She did.
Oh, I love that. Good for you.
Thanks.
She's really into her kids, and she's lovely. And, you know, I asked her to help promote the documentary, which, like, there's no reason she should have to help me or even feel. No, she stopped everything and said, "Of course, whatever you want." And she's, like,
that's
lovely.
Great.
And, you know, and she's just a special woman and really kind and generous and open and real. Like, her advice and the way she talks about life is, I mean, this is a woman who's married to Dennis Quaid. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And she's just the most down-home cool chick ever. I think she's, like, the quintessential cool chick.
She is. I mean, just was in a movie with the Ramones. I mean, what, you know.
Yeah,
how cool is that?
How cool is that? Seriously.
She did a lipstick print for me. Cindy Bonus, too. It's a, you know what that is?
No, I don't.
I got autographs and stuff like that. And over the longest time, I'm going, you know, I'd seen other people's autographs. Like, everybody gets autographs. And then I saw a Marilyn Monroe autograph from years ago, and it was a lipstick print. They, like, blot lipstick, and they say,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
to whoever, and put a quote on there. And I got one. Lindsay Wagner did one for me, and I said, put, "These lips are not bionic," and sign it. And that's what she says. I've got one that actually says, "These lips are not bionic," and has her lipstick print on there. But
oh, I love it. I met her and had dinner with her.
She's very nice, too.
She does these weird spiritual workshops that are kind of fascinating. So
If
you want to meet Lindsay Wagner and have her do a guided meditation that will change your life, I did it, and I closed my eyes, and I saw a prince and princess.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea why, like a shadow I'm going through.
Really?
It was supposed to be like, you know, your secret desire. I don't know. But
wow.
That was that's my Lindsay Wagner story.
That's really cool. Wow.
You got her lips. I got her guided meditation. Boom.
There you go.
There
almost
go.
What you want. Yeah,
well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, if you come to L.A., you definitely need to call me up, and I will take you for a beer.
That would be great.
The L.A. style.
That would be cool. Okay. Wow. Okay. I was going to say, yeah, PJ Souls is also supposed to be in Indianapolis in June, late June, so... She's doing so. If I actually make the trip over there, I'll mention her to you and say, "Hey, I saw it and saw your documentary and whatever." So I'll mention it to her. So, and I followed you on what is it? I think on, are you on Instagram? You're on a couple different things, right? On
I'm on Instagram under Sadie Katz, SadieKatz, and I'm on Twitter at Sadie_Katz.
Okay.
And my Facebook, I'm so bad at my fan page, but my personal page, I can't add anyone, but they could certainly follow, and I love that. And you should follow. Let me, I would love to see what conventions you're at. You can give me the inside scoop of the convention. I would like to actually do some more, but, you know, I'm sort of like, you don't go to a party unless you're invited. So
that's right.
Chill out until, you know, that
I
happens.
Think, yeah. You know, I've talked to some of the people who do conventions. Said, you know, you ought to get this person, you ought to get that person. They go, well, you know, and it's weird because the convention people go, well, we don't like to approach people. You know, we usually let them come to us. And it's like, well, you know, so, I mean, I think the convention thing is kind of there if you're, you know, if you want it. And I think a lot of people, you know, do a lot of these conventions, and you kind of, I haven't been to them in several years, and it's because a lot of times you see a lot of the same people. So.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, the same people kind of do it. I think now that I was really waiting. I wanted Blood Feast to come out, and I wanted party bus to come in loaded. So I could kind of have those three little, those are like the bigger films that I really love.
That'd be great.
And they all go together, and that would be really nice to be able to promote all those at conventions. And then I would love to meet everyone in Chicago. That's great.
That'd be great. When you said it was it Blood Feast? Was that the one?
Yeah, that's the remake, and it just came out the hard copy at DVD and Blu-ray, but the director's cut is coming out, and then it will go to VOD through Hanover House. And that's really a special film. You should check it out. And I think it's one of the few films that's not, you're not like offended that they remade it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It needs it. You're like, you know what? This film was purposely made really low budget, and Marcel does a really nice send up, and it's Herschel Gordon Lewis's very last film.
Oh, wow. That's cool. And wow. Okay.
Yeah. Don't get too excited about his cameo. It's like over the computer and stuff. But it is kind of cool, and he, you know, he authorized it, so it's not just, there's something kind of magical about that. So check it out, and then let me know if you've seen it. I want to hear what your thoughts are.
Okay.
Good
or
bad. I say Goddess Ishtar. So this is a pretty iconic, you know, character. It's a gift.
And when is when is Party Bus to Hell coming out?
April 13th. Well, April 13th, it comes out on VOD. It will be at select theaters April 20th. And I don't know. I think we're doing some regional theaters. I don't know if we'll get into Chicago. I think it depends on how it goes.
Uh-huh.
And it's being released through Gravitas Ventures. So we'll kind of follow what they do.
Okay. Is there going to be a hard copy release, a Blu-ray or something?
Yes, there will be. I think that's always about 3 months, I think, from the initial dropping.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Okay. I definitely want to check that. I'd like to see it in a theater with an audience. I just, you know, that's the way movies
it's
are supposed
so
to be.
So gory.
Seen.
Let me tell you, it's really gory. It's fabulous. If you were in Orange County, they're doing like an 11 o'clock showing in Orange County. That's not Blood Feast. No. Blood Feast is. I mixed it up. Blood Feast is during that's Party Bus is doing April 20th. Blood Feast is April 6th.
Uh-huh.
They're doing a screening at a very fancy theater in L.A., and so we'll see how that goes. If it goes well, we might get more theaters. And it's shot beautifully. It's shot in Germany and in France, in Paris. And it looks really beautiful. I mean, it's the most disgusting film ever. You know, I'm half naked in it, but it's tasteful nudity. So it's a little more tasteful than Party Bus.
Party Bus, it was just a blast. I mean, it's just a fun movie to watch. You know, what really got me was you could see their influences, and they actually talk about the influences in the credits even. You know, in the credits it talks about, you know, mentions Satan's Cheerleaders and Bloodsucking Freaks, but it also has Race with the Devil in there because they do the thing around the bus that's Race with the Devil, and then there's several other, Hills Have Eyes, of course, and then, but a lot of homage to a lot of different films, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad you like it. Thank you so much for covering it. I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Please tag me on anything that you post. So I can share it, and you have a fabulous night.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Bye.